Alright, welcome to the first edition of the WDKS podcast on WeDon'tKnowFootball.com. You're joined by me, your regular host, Jason, also known as the Glamorous Disc. And today, I don't have my... Unlike the previous season, I have two special guests with me today. First on my right, I have Tariq. Hey. And on my left, I have Andy. Hey. Yeah. Okay. Just a little bit of introduction. I will let the guests speak for themselves. Tariq, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Great. Tariq here, Manchester United fan. Followed United all my life. And favourite player was Ronaldo.
Word.
Then it was going to be Ben Foster until last weekend. So I'm still working out who my favourite player is, but it could be Michael Owen.
Really? And Andy?
Okay, Andy. Fulham fan through and through. I can tell you my first game was against Burnley back in 1982, a stunning 1-1 draw, and clearly that's the hook that got me into Fulham for the rest of my life. Also, a goalkeeper of some stature. I think you could probably like me a bit like to Neville Southall these days, because I got a little bit older.
A little bit going around.
A bit rounder.
Definite favourite player at the moment has to be Danny Murphy. He's the barometer of our team. When Danny's on song, Fulham are on song.
And Tariq, what position do you pick?
Oh, I'm an all-rounder. I'm like a John O'Shea on the football pitch. So they put me at the back, they put me in the middle.
But never the striker.
Every now and then a striker. They're really desperate.
Jack of all trades.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't need to introduce myself. I think it'll be a great way to start off the pod by talking about last week's game. Pretty much the talking point towards the whole... towards the Premier League games last week was United versus City. The whole welcome to Manchester, Carlos Tevez thing. Mm. And then after that, the results. United won 4-3. Mm. And as we all know, in plenty of extra time. What, Tariq, as a United fan, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I've been to a few derby games in my life, and there's always quite a bit of extra time because the nature of the game is like that. So they put up the time board at 4 minutes, and that's just when City scored. And City celebrated for at least 45 seconds to a minute. And then Ferguson brilliantly did that substitution, taking off Anderson and bringing on Carrick.
Carrick, yeah.
Adds another 30 seconds. So actually, the referee was dead on.
All right,
and allowing the game to continue. But I'll tell you one thing that I was very disappointed in was just Ben Foster.
Really?
Because he just seemed to lack the conviction of our first team goalkeeper.
Actually, the only time personally I've seen him play well was against Spurs in the League Cup final last season, because I was clutching my fist and like, no! But yeah. Yes, he did look like an England goalkeeper then. Fabio Capello said he could be, yeah. So did Ferguson.
But he just looks, I don't know, maybe confidence or something like it. But, you know, Andy over here, he's played goalkeeper. I've seen him play a few times. And he doesn't have that sort of weakness in him.
Well, I think goalkeeper is a unique position anyway. It's definitely a position that requires a lot of self-confidence. Foster's probably, he's had a couple of charity shield. He had a bit of a disappointing game as well. So it's a shame for him because he's got a definite opportunity with Van der Sar being injured.
Yep.
So it's a shame if he can't pull it off, because whether Rob Green is the right goalkeeper for England going into the World Cup is a debate. But to go back to the game, I think the first thing I would say about the game, not being a City or United fan, is what a fantastic game it was for the neutral.
Oh, yes.
Seven goals. Mm. Lots of end-to-end action, mistakes in defence on both sides.
Real so, budding and shocking.
So real value for money for a Premier League armchair fan.
Armchair, WDKF.
Absolutely. I think the issue about all the extra added time is just really a little bit blown out of proportion.
Yeah, sure.
I think the thing that gets missed a little bit is 4 minutes added time. Actually, it means no less than 4 minutes. It can actually mean 4 minutes 1 second or 4 minutes 59 seconds, because they don't put the seconds up.
Mm.
So that's a reality. And as Tariq said, there were additional time added to that for the goal celebrations, for the substitution, and he even added time for Owen's goal celebration as well. The only thing I hope that comes out of this is that Ferguson recognises that and is magnanimous about it, and if further down the season it happens to him, that his team lose through a late injury time goal. He doesn't then get all arsy
actually,
about it.
Actually, that's a very good point, because
and recognizes that it's you know, sometimes you get the rub of the green, sometimes you don't.
I don't know if you've been reading the comments that we put up on the blog, but one of the things I keep mentioning is that these are the kind of things that gets balanced out over the season. You know, the red cards, the penalties given, the additional 3 minutes. So
any manager, you know, if it's on the other foot, if Ferguson was in Hughes's position, he'd be complaining about
definitely.
It and vice versa. But the real hero was Michael Owen. And also, I watched part of the game last night, the League Cup, Carling Cup game.
Against
Wolves. And Michael Owen was a game very special.
Really?
He created the second goal, or the first goal.
First goal
for Welbeck to score. Beautiful passing.
Okay.
So I reckon he's coming good, you know, for a free transfer.
To replace Tevez, who had two assists for City.
Yeah.
I think he did quite well there. Talking about City strikers, we all know what happened after the celebrations. The fan came down, tried to get involved in the pitch action, and the steward stopped him. But Craig Bellamy walked over and gave him he gave him a good smack on the face.
And he claimed self-defense, Bellamy.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like self-defense. It looked like he whacked him.
I don't know, Andy, if you watched the video, but...
I've not seen it, but it just seemed such a shame to me that Bellamy had such a great impact on the game with... You know, his first goal was a stunning goal.
Yeah.
His second goal was a good goal, but poor goalkeeping, I think. But some of these players, they just seem to go hand in glove with trouble throughout their career, whatever they're involved
like
in.
Like Adebayor in the previous game.
Yeah.
You got Bellamy is like it, Roy Keane was like it, there's the...
Eric Cantona Kung Fu King.
Well, not really so much that. I was thinking about the other guy who, I forgot now, his brother was involved in some nonsense as well in Everton or Liverpool. They're just some players who... If they weren't professional footballers, I seriously wonder where they'd be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough about the United versus City. There was another game that was being played over the weekend. Chelsea versus Spurs. Mm. Chelsea came out 3-0 winners. Fulham fan. Let's talk about Chelsea. I mean, you know.
Well, first of all, about what can I say? We probably don't look too favourably upon Chelsea. They're our near neighbours. They happen to play in our borough, and we'd love them to move. But it's difficult to be too critical. I think they've had a great start to the season.
Yeah, perfect start.
Perfect
actually.
Start to the season. I've listened to a couple of interviews. I listened to an interview with John Terry. He actually got onto the Chelsea topic after the England Croatia game in the press conference, and he just said that the professionalism that Ancelotti has brought to the team is probably the single biggest factor. I mean, they haven't changed their players.
Exactly. It's almost the same players, actually.
It just seems to be that attention to detail, much like Capello seems to have brought to the England squad.
But they had a good one last year as well, actually, with
Good sitting.
But I think in that you got that same approach from those types of coaches who are meticulous in their preparation, and their attention to detail is superb. I've seen it with Tagana at Fulham a few years ago. They just, their attention to detail and how they prepare teams for matches is just second to none. And I think that's the impact that this is having.
I would think Jose Mourinho would have the same sort of meticulous preparation.
Quite probably, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think Chelsea starts overrated, because they had Hull, which they scored an extra time to get the victory. And
right.
Stoke City as well, just 2 weeks ago. So I think
You scored in injury time to get the winner against Man City.
Yeah. But I don't know. Everyone's saying what a great... And it is a good start by Chelsea, without a doubt. But I think it's also a lot of tight calls. And so they could slip up.
It's possible. I mean, with Chelsea, we all know about that transfer ban.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be able to buy players, at least for the next two transfer windows. And on top of that, they have there's the African Cup of Nations.
They'll miss Drogba for that.
Definitely.
And if they get any serious injuries to some of those key players, then that could stretch them over the course of the season. you know, with the number of games that they'll have to play with Champions League as well. So they must be praying to remain injury free.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, they're also quite old in terms of age compared against the rest of
the full season. Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen Arsenal; they're all pretty young, and Chelsea's like at the other end of that age group.
Yeah. What about Spurs and Chelsea? What's going to happen to them?
Well, I don't know. I'm quite concerned with Modric's injury because ever since he's gone missing, we've played United and Chelsea, and I think. I mean, most teams will go and look at the schedule and say, okay, you know, this is not a game we're expected to win. So maybe we can brush that one off. But I think we will be able to see next week. I can't remember who we take out. I think it's Blackburn or somebody. But I know Modric has been quite influential in terms of the offensive attack that we've done. We did quite well though. We beat Preston North End. Woohoo, big team.
And Crouch got a hat trick.
Yes, he did. Yeah, in the League
really
Cup.
Thrilled. Including a cheeky back heeler.
That's right. Also in injury time. that was in the League Cup. Leeds were quite unfortunate to lose to Liverpool in the League Cup.
Mm.
Certain David Ngog got the winning goal. Burnley, who did quite well last season. I think they reached the semis as a championship club, but they crashed out.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the League Cup? What cup is that? League Cup, Carling Cup,
Carling Cup, Carling
the
cup.
Milk Cup. What is
Manchester
it?
Manchester United are champions of the Carling
Cup. Well, it's the knockout tournament for all the 92 professional teams. So that's basically what it is.
It's the biggie.
But it as a competition, I think over the years, it's just got. Downgraded in terms of priority of each of the clubs.
There's a European spot up for grabs.
There is, but I think when you look at Burnley as an example, Burnley last year were a championship side. It was their opportunity to play Premiership sides.
Yep.
So it became big games for them, big midweek encounters. I think they took two or three Premiership scouts, including Fulham. But now they're in the Premier League, I think their priority changes. And it's like a lot of clubs from probably 9 or 10 down that they will put out lesser squads, lesser teams, because their focus is on Premiership survival.
And for Fulham, the focus is really on Europe.
And for Fulham, of course, our focus is now on the Europa League and the fixture pile up that a successful Carling Cup campaign would bring is probably just far too much for our squad.
Very thin squad, yes.
No, not so much. It's probably it's similar to Everton, I think, in that we probably have 19 to 20 first team players, and they will continue to be rotated through all these games. But and I think it'll be Premier League, it'll be Europa Cup. It'll be FA Cup, it'll be Carling Cup, and it'll be in that order.
So who do you think is going to win the Carling Cup then this year, Jason?
Well, I certainly hope it's Spurs. Final third year in a row, but you know, I actually see one of the big four winning. I know they put out the younger squads and things like that, but I've always been impressed with the Arsenal squad. Yes, I know. The Arsenal squad, they're very young, but they're very talented, and it's as a Spurs fan, it's very hard to watch them and say, you know, I want the Spurs team to play like that.
Mm.
Even at a young age, the Arsenal team is fantastic to watch.
I think what's really tough with this, and I think it happened to a team, it may have been Arsenal, is that their kids got them to the final.
Yes.
And then when they actually get to the final, they then put out the be the regular first 11. And I think that's really tough on the...
That was a few seasons ago. That was against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Chelsea won that cup. I think it was Mourinho's first cup. And I remember two red cards for somebody. I'm not sure. I remember two red cards in that game. But yeah, that was the Arsenal squad, actually. I think since then, Wenger has actually approached the let's let the kids play
all the way.
Because they got us here, so, you know.
And he's got some very good youngsters.
Yes, he does. All right. That will lead us nicely into... our next segment, predictions for the season. I know we've talked about most of the big four. We haven't actually talked about Liverpool much. Well, let's talk Liverpool for a while. I know Tarek might have an agenda against Liverpool. So let's go to Andy.
Well, Liverpool, they need to. A lot of their game really depends on Gerrard staying injury free. And last year, Gerrard missed quite a few games. Torres missed quite a few games. They still finished
second.
So if Torres and Gerrard and those kinds of players can stay injury free for Liverpool, I think they have a good a shot as certainly as Arsenal or perhaps even United this stage.
Really?
I think Chelsea are showing that defensively they are stronger.
Mm.
They're not conceding what you might consider to be gifted goals. I think all three of United's goals that they conceded at the weekend were born out of defensive errors or of some description. Chelsea are much, much more frugal than that. But with Liverpool, I think it really relies on some of those players staying injury free. And I just don't get these kind of fans that call for Benitez's head. They won 3-2 at West Ham. To me, that's a pretty good result. Why would you be on your manager's case after that? But I think Chelsea will win the Premiership this year at this stage. And I suspect it will be between United and Liverpool who get second spot. After that, Arsenal, Man City would be vying for the fourth spot, I think.
Any fix or who do you think will do better? I mean, City or Arsenal?
I think Arsenal, because I think they've got the pedigree to do this. I think City's big problem will be how will they react when they go into that stage of the season where maybe a few results go against them, which every club gets at some point during the season. They've got a lot of egos in the dressing room. and I don't know how Mark Hughes will handle that. And it'll be, when you're winning, everyone's happy.
True.
But when you start to lose a few matches or things don't go your way, it'll be really crucial to see how he handles that.
Well, actually, the next one will be the next game because they lost their first game against United. So it will be interesting to see how Mark Hughes picks up the players, especially considering that he will have two strikers missing, most likely. So that means that's going to be the top four.
Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal.
All right. Tarek?
For Liverpool, I'd be surprised if Benitez stays for the whole season.
Really?
Because I think after letting go of Alonso, they've lost the backup that Gerrard needed to do his game. And I just think, and they've also got this uncertainty about their ownership. So, and that always doesn't do any good for a club whenever there's that kind of uncertainty of ownership.
It's like Portsmouth.
It's like United many years ago when they were trying to sell to Michael Knightley. And then
not Kieran Knightley then.
I wish it was clear enough. And so I can't see when there's ownership problems like that, that it translates into the dressing room after a while. So I think they'll suffer a bit this year. And I think Man City will probably overtake them.
Wow.
As being the third team.
That's big prediction.
Well, they're strong, City, yeah? And they've got the team has gelled in much faster than people expected. They put on a great fight against United. Even though United really played out of skins on the second half, City held on. A good sign.
Yeah, I think in terms of the character City is bringing up, one of the things which I think Mark Hughes has done well was buy Premiership players. A lot of the players which he's brought in have settled in the Premiership.
They're
look at Adebayo, Tevez, we all know about them because they played in the Premiership. They're a very England international
it's
player.
Like the Galacticos of Man City.
Quite. We'll go into that topic of Galacticos, though. Just hold on to that thought.
But let me just say, my prediction then this year, it's going to be between Chelsea and United at the top. I'd have to go for United, because I think we last the distance a lot longer than Chelsea does. When things count. But Chelsea will be right up there. I think then it'll be City. And then I think Liverpool and Arsenal will follow after that.
Wow. City. Premier League.
It's third, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I think Spurs will avoid relegation.
Nah, I certainly hope so.
I think Fulham will avoid relegation.
Personally, for me, I made this prediction actually in the previous season. I'm going to make the same prediction. I think Chelsea is going to win it. I there's something about Chelsea that's got that. There's this winning mentality that's really, really tough to break. I made that prediction last season based on Scolari's experience, and you know, but that was made before before even the first game was played. But this time, after having seen them totally destroy Spurs, and also in their previous games, even though they got lucky for a couple of results, you need some of that luck to win titles. I think they can do it because I think their squad's big enough. I don't think the transfer window ban will affect them much.
No, I don't think it will this season either.
No, the only concern is just the African Cup nations.
Yeah. Well, the big game in a couple of weeks is Liverpool-Chelsea.
October the 4th. It'll be a good one to see how Chelsea handle the bigger teams because like Tariq mentioned earlier, you know, they've not really played
top games.
Yes. Okay. We've covered the title favourites, top four. Anyone for the Europa, and I gotta get used to that, Europa Quark.
I think Europa League.
Being Fulham being in the Europa League, I'll leave Andy the pro.
There's a whole slew of clubs that can basically get into these positions. And I think you've got Everton, you've got Spurs, you've got Villa, maybe Fulham, although I think if they carry on as they started, they're unlikely to.
Even Everton with their poor start.
Yeah, actually, Everton have got a few key players coming back from injury. Arteta will be coming back soon, and I was listening to an interview with one of their assistant manager today, and they got quite a few key players coming back.
Yeah, Kubu came back and he scored.
And he scored as well. So that's very good for them.
But is it a Europa League? Is that like the auto win glass?
No, it's the old UEFA Cup, so it's but I talking of that, I have to say I'm not really a fan of either the Champions League format or the Europa League format. I think these league games that they're in now, I think it produces some pretty dull football actually.
Yeah, it does.
And as a kid growing up, there was nothing better for me than watching Sports Night on a Wednesday night in the UK. At a foggy Anfield against Borussia Mönchengladbach, and David Fairclough would come on in the 89th minute and score a winner. And it was European knockout football, and I think that was much more exciting.
It gets
exciting when you get to the knockout phase, but I find the whole league qualification phase just dull.
Boring. And you'll see the same thing that happened previous season where I know Spurs did it, Villa did it. They all put up younger players, you know, from the academy to play in one of the games, you know, which they didn't intend to win, and they didn't. I think there's a lot of also boredom, you know, certain games like games that you don't want to see somebody from, well, maybe not Ukraine, but Romania, like last season, FC Cluj. Versus somebody else.
Even the big game last week between, is it Inter against Barcelona, 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
And you just look at that and you think, here's two giants of European football meeting in the group stage, and they come to a 0-0 draw.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it's quite good also to have a bit of a table format, because otherwise, say like for some of the lower teams, that's it. If they play one game and they're out.
Yeah, but it used to be the champions
of each country
playing in a knockout tournament, and I think it's TV money that has driven the current format, and I don't think it's necessarily the best deal for
the punter,
and for the fan.
Actually, one of the good things about the previous whole knockout format was the talent was spread across Europe. You would see good players playing in Turkey, you would see good players playing in Holland, you would see good players playing in France, because they know that if they want to win the big European Cup, they'll have to play for one of the champions of these countries. So that's why you see, back then there were winners from like Galatasaray, and also, you know, Ferencvaros, that was like ages ago. So this whole league format, and you know, focusing on all the big teams, actually put all the talent in the certain countries, you know, countries which already had a reputation for good football, good teams.
England, Spain, Italy.
Yeah, I mean, England, Spain, Italy, they're the three countries with four qualifiers to the Champions League. So, these clubs and eventually these leagues dominated.
I just did a little quick ready reckoner there. My maths may be a little bit off, but I just if Fulham were to win the Europa League, they would have played something in the region of 20 matches to have achieved that. By going through the two pre-qualifying games, the group stage, then into the last 32,
yep,
with home and away knockout through to the final. And that's more than half of the Premiership season.
Mm.
And it's an incredible amount of football.
Mm. All right. Very interesting calculation.
Who's going down?
Yeah, let's talk about who's going down. You know, we went from qualifying for Europe from qualifying from the Europa League to, well, Europe.
Well, the bottom three right now,
yeah,
is Blackburn, Hull, and Portsmouth.
Portsmouth's not going to change.
Yeah, well, Portsmouth have got nil points.
Yeah.
The only other team in the Premiership with a 100% record.
Yeah.
That's it. Played six, lost it.
We all know about that boardroom problem. I mean, and I know Paul Hart, he's actually gotten in a lot of players at the last minute, actually. I saw bits of their game against, I think, Bolton last week. They were quite unlucky to lose. There were two ex-Spurs players that scored for Portsmouth. That's why they're there. But, you know, I think if you look at the personnel, I actually like some of the players there.
Mm.
I mean, discounting the fact that there are some Spurs players. I like this guy, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Frederic Picquini. He's from Lyon.
It's highly rated, that's yeah. Right. Well, they've got David Jones as well as their keeper still.
Calamity.
Yeah. It'd be a shame to see them go down, because they were good until a season or so ago.
Yeah, when...
But it does look
Ari,
like the writing is on the wall.
And also the whole ownership transfer, I think that was a big factor, because they couldn't go out and buy players. Yeah. There was no budget. And all they did was sell. Yeah, that was my relegation
favorite. So we're all agreed on Portsmouth.
Yeah, Portsmouth. Who else? Who else is going down with them? Promoted clubs, maybe? No?
I think Hull lasted well last season.
I think Hull will go as well, just purely because their second half season form, the form in the second half of last season was woeful.
And shocking.
And I haven't seen anything that tells me that
it's changed.
They did well in the first game, though, against Chelsea. Yeah, that was one game.
First game of the season, you know, everyone's a little bit excited. But to rescue Hull City, I'd say that Joel Brown has to go.
Really?
Yeah.
And
because his ego is bigger than the club. The whole business with the team on the pitch sitting in the centre circle, just crazy.
And modern management technique.
Ah, crazy.
And the whole microphone in the ear thing.
Yeah. Who's he talking to?
I have no clue.
Yeah.
I wish. Okay, if there's anyone listening to the pod right now,
checking his bank account.
Yeah. Is anyone listening to the pod who knows who Phil Brown is actually talking to? Please put it on the comments. Tell us how you know this and is it verified? Because I have no clue.
Mother's wife.
Honey, is the dinner ready?
That's it. But the third team, I don't know, my money would probably be on Wolves.
Wolves?
Yeah, I mean, they've had not a bad start to the season, actually, but...
They just beat Fulham.
They just beat Fulham, which isn't...
2-1. But maybe, but I think clubs like Wolves and Burnley, I think both of those grounds will be quite tough grounds for clubs to visit.
Yeah,
I think the atmosphere at Turf Moor and Molineux is quite intense. They've got very passionate supporters, and I think their home, if they can maintain good home form, they'll stay up.
My money would be on Blackburn. I know they've got some good players. You know, they've got Benny McCarthy. I don't know if he's going to the World Cup.
Peterson, they've got a good team.
But there's something about the whole long ball tactic about Sam Allardyce that makes it very boring. I don't know if you saw some reports, but he's being booed by the fans. You know, they're not playing well. It's just not. It's not working out for them because they've got quite a few good attacking players.
But this is the guy Sam who got sacked by Newcastle way too early. Yeah, he wasn't really given a chance.
True.
To expect any manager to come in and get the results within 2 or 3 months. You know, it was, you're lucky if you do, I think.
That's so true.
I think they've got to give them one or two seasons at least, just to, but it'd be a shame to get them relegated in that process.
All right. Who's your? I mean, who do you think will be the first manager to get sacked?
I don't know. Might be Roy Keane because they've had their worst.
No, I mean the Premier League. Oh yeah, Ipswich. Ipswich is not doing well.
It's a real shame. I mean, I thought Roy Keane would do a good job there.
Yeah.
But they've just had the worst start in 45 years or something.
Possibly Paul Hart.
Paul Hart.
If the ownership gets sorted.
Can he be blamed?
It's a tough one with Paul Hart because for me he built the squad at Leeds when they reached the Champions League semi final, and he's one of those players that or coaches that may not move well into management. And, you know, he may be of that type. I don't know.
Yeah, but, like Chris Hughton.
Yeah, and people like Brian Kidd as well, who've been superb coaches and trainers, but they don't step up to the manager role very well.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
The other, I don't know. Personally, I'd love to see, if you're asking me who I'd like to see go down, it would be Birmingham. I have very little time for Birmingham City, so apologies to any Brum fans listening to the podcast, but it's not even that. I've had too many bad experiences at the hands of Birmingham City fans. So I'd love to see them.
I think we should just keep that one there.
Right.
Let's keep that one away from the pod and from the public business.
So up the baggies, come on, you Villa.
All right. We were talking about Europe. Let's go on in a bit about Spain, because during the off-season everything was about Spain. It was Ronaldo moving to Madrid, it was Kaká moving to Madrid, it's the whole Galacticos version 2.0.
Well, both teams have got off to a great start, yeah?
Barca, yeah.
So, four games, four wins.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronaldo's got off to a flyer, it seems.
Seems like it, because he wasn't firing on any cylinder at all during preseason, but that's just preseason.
But it's difficult to have an affection for a club that buys players for that amount of money, and compared to Barcelona, who breed them themselves, you know. So I think, in terms of, even though it's a neutral, can't help but endear yourself more to Barcelona for
true.
The hard work involved of setting up your own squad.
And even Pep Guardiola was from the Barcelona youth system.
Yeah.
Now he's coaching.
These guys come in, and I remember when they did it before, they didn't really win anything, and I was wondering whether the same thing would happen this time now.
Well, we can only tell at the end of the season. Personally, I'm a fan of Messi, so I would have to pick Barcelona. And I'm also a big fan of the whole breeding players from the youth system. I think it's quite a good thing. You've seen people like Xavi and Iniesta play with each other for, I don't know, the best part of the last 15 years possibly. You never know. So, I would have to pick Barca to win the Primera Liga.
Well, it'll be a great match to watch those two play together.
Definitely. And with the whole Messi versus Ronaldo show. But I think Kaká would be the main person for Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any comments on Spain? Anyone else? Do we know? Hey, Atletico, I think it's Atletico Madrid. It was Athletic Bilbao that have a...
And we're thinking Espanyol's got off to quite a good start this season as well. And Malaga's struggling.
Malaga. Best save that
not
for
enough British tourists.
Save that for your holiday.
Yeah.
Don't save that for your golf villa.
There's this one guy I do want to talk about. Athletic Bilbao player Iker Muniain. He's like 16. He's probably the best thing to come out from the Basque side of Spain for quite a long time.
Mm.
You know. I saw YouTube videos. I don't know how reliable they are, but he's quite a good player. I don't know, have you seen or heard anything about him? No?
I've seen a clip or two, but I think we should... Have you posted some up on your website? We should do that.
Not yet. Yeah. But, yeah. Okay, moving on. Yeah, we don't really know much about Spain anyway.
We don't know Spanish football.
Yeah.
We don't know Spanish football.
I forgot to cover one more thing. Ibrahimovic for Eto'o. What kind of a deal was that?
It seems to work well, but I love Jose Mourinho's reaction. It was last year he was saying Ibrahimovic is the best striker in Europe. And now he's saying he's crap. Eto is the best striker in Europe. It's great how he backs his players.
With no concern for any of his former players, yeah. Ibrahimovic, I think there's this whole thing going on, at least on our blog. There's a lot of comments about him not shining when during the big games, you know. And I think maybe that might be the case, but so far he's done well in the four games that he's played. He's scored in every game. He got injured, but still, you know, he's got four goals in four games. That's a pretty good stat.
Yeah, it is. And the Spanish league is a step up on the Italian league, so it'll be good for him, I'm sure.
What's happening in Italy? Inter Milan to win? No? Juventus?
But it's funny watching matches, Italian matches nowadays, because the stadiums are half empty because of security issues. So it's a bit bizarre, but I mean, it looks like Inter.
Actually, watching a Serie A game is very difficult for me to stay interested, because I know I'm watching through the TV screen, but I don't get that same whole crowd atmosphere, you know, even through the screens. I don't know, maybe it's because the stadium is bigger or something, but something's just not there to attract me.
But Juventus have got off to a great start.
Yep. And so my favorite player from Germany, or at least who played in Germany before moved there, Diego.
Okay, yeah, very talented. So Sampdoria's third, but it looks it'll be close between Juventus and Inter Milan.
Okay, fair enough. Andy, anything else? Anything you want to add to that? Maybe something about Germany, Italy, anyone else? France?
The only thing I can really of note about Italy is that we'll be coming up against Roma in the Europa League. So I know a few of the fans on the message boards and the blog sites are pretty nervous about travelling out to Rome.
Yeah, they have the whole fan problem.
Ultras and so on. But I think, I mean, having downed pretty heavily the group stages of these tournaments previously, on the other side of the coin, of course, it's a great game for a club like Fulham to be involved in, to play a big Italian club like Roma. And who knows? I think it's
Did you imagine playing Roma during Chris Coleman's era?
Oh, really, no. Or during any era?
it's more like Blackpool.
Really?
And
Okay,
The German league's quite exciting. Last year, I followed this because I play an online football game.
All right.
CM Online. And one of the teams is Hoffenheim.
Ah.
And last year, Hoffenheim had a blinder of starts until Christmas. And then it seemed to all go to their heads during the Christmas break. And then they collapsed. Now, they did manage to come back a little bit towards the end of the season and have a pretty good position by the end. And this year, you know, it's a bit slow, but they've also got off to a fairly good start. So I think it's good that they could buy in and these other big teams are on for their money, you know. And last year's romantic story of the season,
Wolfsburg. Yeah.
But they don't seem to have had a great start this year.
That's because they got the Obafemi Martins now.
Always trouble.
You can bring somebody from Newcastle.
I thought he was an alright player, actually.
Actually, so did I.
A good, strong striker, not easily pushed off the ball.
Mm.
And I would have been quite interested if we put a bid in for him, actually. But
I think he went off for quite cheap. 5 million euros or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good price, actually. for any striker these days, that's not bad price.
So do you think Bayern, now they've signed Robin?
Oh, I love Robin. First of all, let me say this. I love Robin. I've always loved him, even before he came to Chelsea, when he was at Chelsea, when he was at Madrid. So, and personally, I've also always been a fan of Schweinsteiger. At Bayern, I have his shirt. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
It's only the shirt, it's not anything else.
It's just the shirt, Schweinsteiger. but yeah, I've always been a fan of him and Robin. And so now they're all playing in one team. I'm hoping they do well. But, you know, I think one thing, at least in the last couple of seasons, that German Bundesliga has shown me is that the big teams don't always win.
No.
I mean, there was Wolves last year, then prior to that there was Bayern, then I think prior to that there was Schalke.
That's right. They seem to be struggling again.
Yep. So, you know, you never know, but I'd still like to see Bayern win it.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't talk about the Champions League. I don't know why we actually talked about the Europa League.
I gave it such a bad.
We totally forgot about the more important tournament, the Champions League. Okay. I don't know how we missed it, but who's going to the Bernabeu? Is that how you say it?
Well, it can't be Real Madrid.
Bernabeu.
Because any team that hosts never gets to the final.
There's a curse, right?
So we can automatically rule out the Galacticos version.
Fucking Man United at Wembley in 68.
Yeah, that's a Wembley, though. It's not Old Trafford.
Oh, okay.
So I reckon Barcelona's got to be there.
Again?
Yeah, I mean, they're just so strong as a squad.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll leave you guys to say, because I know who I've got in mind as the second team. But
does it start with an M?
Yeah, it could be. It's not
Do they wear red?
Yeah.
All right, Andy?
I would say, again, I think Chelsea have a good chance. It inevitably, I think it will come from one of the big European clubs. It'll be a Man U, it'll be a Chelsea. It'd be a Real, a Barcelona, or an Inter.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt whether there'll be a major shock in terms of one of the
finalists
lesser runs coming through.
True. Okay.
In terms of who could win it, I think it's too hard to call. It's with those.
Go on. Go
Pick on. A team.
Pick a team.
Do you think Real would do it?
Stick your necks up. Because
they've got to be part of the favourites of the squad.
Yeah, they must be.
In fact, I think there would be a pressure on them to win the...
Yeah, I think they'll bottle it. I don't think they'll last the distance.
And I think Inter Milan is Jose.
Alright. I like the whole... first of all, I think the Real Madrid Galacticos version 2.0 is a bit different from the first version. Yeah, 2.0. Because the first version is there's a lot of ego, more ego in the squad than this current squad, because I don't think Kaká,
Xabi
Alonso,
have any ego. Yeah,
oh yeah, whatever.
And Benzema's got no ego. And,
but you know,
Kaká's got no ego.
I don't think Kaká has the same sort of level of ego as
Zidane doesn't have a huge ego. Do you think Kaká's got a bigger ego than Zidane?
Well, they have David Beckham then.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other number 7 that went over to Madrid.
Yeah, yeah. But
I wonder if they were going to try to buy Michael Owen.
That might be Ferguson's plot. Put a 7 on the shirt and they'll pay 80 million.
Get him for free, yeah? Okay. I'm going to stick my neck up and I actually say Bayern, because I know might be a bit, going back into my whole Bayern talk, I really like the fact that you have Robin on one wing, you have Ribery on the other wing, and then you have Schreistinger, and then you have a whole bunch of strikers. They have a new guy, but they have somebody from the youth squad, Muller.
Mm. What's their defense like?
The thing is, I've always seen German football, right? I don't know why they don't defend as well as the national team does. We have a writer, his name is Andrew. He actually covers the whole German Bundesliga because he's from there. I don't know why, but I have this thing about Germany or anything German that plays in any English team who I think is going to be in the semi-finals. I don't know which English team it is, but I think it's going to be Bayern versus one English team, and Bayern are going to go through and they're going to win it.
All right. You've got it here live.
Yeah, is
that? It took a lot to come out of Jason.
Yeah.
In the Germany against
some English team.
Some English team.
Okay. That leads us nicely into our next topic, the biggest trophy of them all, the World Cup. We know England qualified with a very convincing win over Croatia. What's Fabio Capello has done? What did he do? I mean, it is almost the same squad as McLaren.
Yeah, well, I think it's the same thing, isn't
it? Steve McLaren.
Yeah, so Steve McLaren's pre-match talk, you can imagine, will be, come on, boys, you can do it. You know, try your hardest, bit of blood and sweat. Whereas Capello would talk about tactics, positioning, passing, you know, the skill sets and the disciplines there, the meal times, the players sharp on time, they have to...
The wags.
They have to all be there, whereas before it's just too casual, I guess.
That's what we were saying before, I think it's these guys have much more attention to detail in terms of their preparation, not just on the pitch, but their whole setup off the pitch in terms of what they do, the hotels, the food, and so on. I think with Steve McLaren, it's just that what on earth possessed the FA to appoint Steve McLaren? I mean, he has no pedigree.
But there weren't many English managers then that were very successful.
Well, he was meant to be his deputy, and he had a good run at Middlesbrough and deputy at Ferguson.
But not achieving a good run at Middlesbrough is
one UEFA Cup final.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I don't think it was up for it. But I think you've got to ask the question, what's Thailand thinking, appointing Brian Robson as the national football team?
Actually, Robson reminds me of one of those managers you mentioned that they make a good deputy, but they're not exactly the type who...
But he's got a history of failure.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Thailand appointed him. Apart from maybe he's got something going
on. Some interests.
As many of us do.
Captain Marvel. do you think the media... I mean, okay, we know the media is going to hype up the whole English expectations.
Already.
You're going to be winning the World Cup, you're too good, you have Fabio Capello as your manager, yada, yada, yada. We all know the story. We all know the drill. We've seen it before. Happens every time they qualify for any tournament.
Penalties to Germany.
That's quite true.
Or Portugal.
Well, Portugal might not make it. You never know.
Might not make it. So
that's one down. In fact, Argentina might not make it.
Indeed.
I don't think you can ever stop the media from speculating.
Getting too excited. No,
yeah.
It's not.
And it doesn't help that the majority of the world's papers read English.
Well, it's what the newspapers do. They build it up so high so that if it does fail, they'll also really go out loud.
Yeah.
So they'll have pictures of the manager with a turnip on his head.
Or an umbrella.
In the rain.
So
we'll have to see. But I'll tell you, for the World Cup, the biggest, and I'm sure probably none of the listeners are aware of this, but the best qualifying game in this year's World Cup was between Bahrain and Saudi Arabia.
Tell us about it.
You've got to go on YouTube and just put Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, World Cup qualifier. And Saudi Arabia had to win this match.
All right.
To qualify through to the final knockout
win
against New Zealand.
Okay.
They had to win, and they were playing in Saudi.
All right.
And it was 1-1 at 90 minutes. And then Saudi scored, and it went to 2-1. So Saudi were going through.
All right.
The stadium erupted, you know, played in Saudi. And then it's just like Manchester United, Manchester City. 3 minutes into extra time, Bahrain went and scored an equaliser. So it was 2-2. So Saudi were knocked out. And Saudi, a huge country, with a hot favourite.
Footballing
Bahrain,
country, yeah.
A small country. And so now it's between Bahrain and New Zealand. But you've got to look it up on YouTube.
And
it's just craziness what happened.
Four goals in that game.
Four goals. But just, it'll just show you the last few minutes of that. How Saudi celebrated and then how Bahrain
was
came
it a
back.
Full 3 minutes or 3 minutes plus, plus, plus?
Well, he wasn't as canny as Fergie by doing the substitution, you know, to add the extra 45 seconds.
Maybe they used up the substitution. Okay, that'll be an interesting one to check out.
Yeah.
Any predictions?
Well, I predict somebody will get a metatarsal injury for England.
Yeah.
They always do.
Well, I think South Africa will get knocked out in the first round. They won't get through to the next round.
But the hosts usually do well. I mean, they usually get at least to the next round. Usually.
Yeah. Is that a fix?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think not, but, you know, even in the Confederations Cup, which was played. I really thought South Africa would even make it out of the group, but they did.
Yeah,
I was surprised. So, you know, maybe.
Do you think Argentina will qualify? Tevez.
I'd like
Messi,
to see Messi there.
Portugal might not qualify with Ronaldo.
Yeah, who cares about that?
Nani.
Who cares? Carlos Queiroz, poor guy.
Yeah, he'll be back to Manchester United by the end of the season.
I think Portugal not qualifying might be a good thing for United.
Yeah, he will come back.
He'll come back again.
Might be a good thing for Rooney.
Hey, true, but then, you know, they're not exactly on the same team anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think the favourite headline for me was after England qualified, you have one of the red top newspapers in the UK with this headline is "Get the beers out." Which was fantastic.
fantastic. Fantastic.
I'd like to see a team not win the who has never won the World Cup to win the World Cup.
Mm. Like a Ghana.
No, I'm thinking more Korea. Holland actually.
They're not up for it. They don't have such a strong team.
But it's always nice to see the occasional. Yeah. I don't know. I think the World Cup has been missing a surprise winner for quite some time. Yeah. I know it's the tournament that's meant to be, you know, the showcase who's the best in the world, that kind of thing. But I remember watching Greece and Portugal play in the Euro Championships in 2004, and everyone's like, "Oh, Portugal's at home, they're gonna win it. You've got Ronaldo, blah blah blah." And wow, look at that.
But yeah, but in reality, it's the best of Europe with Brazil and Argentina, and it's been like that for a long, long time. And arguably, the European Championship, the Euros, is actually a harder tournament to win than the World Cup. Because you have all the high quality European national sides in it.
Okay.
For me, I mean, I personally, I'd love to see England win. I'd love to see England win the World Cup in my lifetime. and just once is all I need. I'm not looking for a Germany of, you know, 3-4 wins in a lifetime. Just once would be enough.
The highlight for me of the World Cup is just when you have games that are completely nonsensical. Like North Korea against Ghana, you know, who would be interested in that? But people watch it because it's the World Cup,
yep,
and it's beautiful to see it.
I'm rapidly coming to the decision that my second team is going to be North Korea.
We should all get the jerseys.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what I would think about wearing North Korean jersey. I don't know if some South Korean sees me and he's like, "You look like one of them."
All for the dear leader.
They might all defect anyway to South Korea, to South Africa by the time.
Well, let's not get into politics here.
No.
Okay. Do we have predictions? I mean, Andy's mentioned England.
For the World Cup. Yeah. Well, I think England are good enough to get to the semi-final, and I think that once you're in the semi-finals, I think the form book is irrelevant at that point, and it really just comes down to the game.
So if you had to put £100 on one team, which team would it be?
For winning, if I had to, forced to put £100
tonight,
I would probably back Spain.
Oh, well, that came out of the blue. I'd go for Brazil. But Spain are very good.
True. They were very impressive at the Euros.
Yeah,
very,
most of the players in Barcelona, etc.
Yeah, from that youth squad thing that we were talking about.
Head is Spain, heart is England.
For me, I say I like to see Holland win it. I don't think Italy will defend their title. They were very shocking at the Confederations Cup. In fact, even their qualifying games, they haven't played that well. They got lucky a few times, but I don't want to say Germany again. I have to
qualify first.
Not really a problem. I don't know. It's something about German football.
Yeah.
I might be German for.
You're close.
I think so. You're close.
German, are you? We call you Ralph.
I don't know. Maybe I should put that as my name now.
Jason something.
Yeah. Okay.
Wolfgang.
Jason von
Rumpen.
Let's not go there. Okay. Final hopes for the season. Anything for this season.
We do not know.
Final words from. Let's go with Andy. Final words. What do you hope for? Anything, you know, Fulham, Europa,
no,
MLS?
If we're looking at the season right through the World Cup, I'd say major hope has got to be England to win the World Cup. If that happens, and anything else wouldn't upset me, even the thought of Fulham being relegated, I could cope with that if England won the World Cup.
All right.
But that's got to be my biggest hope for the season. I think anything else is just pales into insignificance if England could win the World Cup.
Yeah, I think the World Cup's got to be the highlight of the year ahead. But also, I have a feeling this could be Fergie's last year in charge of United.
Wow.
So I think next year we'll see Mourinho.
Wow. United,
that's the prediction, is it?
Yeah, that's what I think.
All
right. Because it's the first year without any speculation, really, that it's Fergie's last year.
Not a Moise.
I think it'll be one of those. No, it wouldn't be. It'll be Mourinho.
I like the fact. I would like it for Mourinho to come over the United.
He stated it as well, but it'd be interesting.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So that's my sort of soft prediction for the year ahead.
Right. Personally, my hope for the season would be Spurs to win the FA Cup, because I don't think
avoid relegation.
But the year doesn't end in one. So
So you know, Spurs to win the FA Cup, Arsenal to win nothing. Because you know, we know Arsenal haven't won anything for a number of years now.
Yeah.
I get picked on quite a bit. For being proud of one League Cup victory in the last, 2 years ago?
They stick to Wenger, even though he doesn't win.
That's Spurs all over.
Exactly.
You always start the season with this sort of great expectation that you're a big club.
Yeah.
Yet you actually haven't won anything for so long.
Since Father Albert.
But it's just, why do you still have this view?
That's why I would like to win the only other bigger cup other than the League Cup, which is the FA Cup. I mean, I don't see it. Spurs winning the Premier League.
No. So what would be a minimum league position for Spurs in the Premier League?
Qualifying to Europe.
Even Europa or
Europa. I'm fine with it.
So 7 is the minimum you're looking for.
Yeah. but we'll be better through the FA Cup. For me.
Yeah. I just want to add that I'm new to WeDon'tKnowFootball.com, and I just want to say it's a brilliant website. Well,
thank
you.
You
and the boys for putting it together. And we
have 3 girls also.
To the ladies as well.
Yeah, I particularly like, I can't remember her name, but she said she liked football and cricket and a lot of sport things. She's based in the US.
We have 3 girls on our writers list, on the blog list. So, well, that's good news for us. Any more final words? Anything else? Anything?
That's it for
me. Well, that wraps it up for us. Until the next time we'll be doing another part, I will let you know who our special guest will be then. For now, this is Jason signing off. Bye.
Bye. When will I be famous?